Kof Kislev, Friday the 16th of December, Baba Yehuda Silver, the Ha'olos Ponim of Chanukah.
Good morning, everyone. First of all, let me say it's a pleasure to be back. It's always so wonderful to come back and feel so welcome. And, the warmth is something which I take with me, even though we go back there. So. The Ha'olos Ponim of Chanukah. The Gemara in Shabbos begins, my Chanukah. Everyone is familiar, my Chanukah. What's Chanukah? What's Chanukah? So Rashi explains on the spot that my Chanukah, the question is, on what miracle, on what ness were they kaveya the Yom Tov of Chanukah? From this we hear, of course, that the only way to establish a Yom Tov is with a ness. If there's a ness, it's a clear intervention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, that is what creates the chiyuv of a Yom Tov, and Chazal were the ones with the koveya. Which ness is the ness that will have the impact throughout the dayos, throughout generations? That's clear from Rashi. But the Gemara continues and says, what was the ness? Shenichnasu Yevonim Lahechol, when they came in and they were metameh, and they defiled all the shmonim. Then there was found one little pach shemen, and it lasted for 8 days instead of one day. And on that day were the koveya, the Yom Tov of Chanukah. That's what the Gemara says. What we have to understand is that there were far greater nisim. There are enormous nisim that took place at the time of Chanukah. Put it in perspective. There were Yud Beis, B'nei Chashmonoi, there were 12 Chashmonoim, and Rashi brings in Elazar. These 13 people took on the entire Greek Empire. I mean, it's like if we were to decide one today, right now, we're going to take on America, right? And we're going to be victorious militarily. I mean, you know, it's a shtus. No one would think about it, no one would dream of it. And here, they began, and they took on the Greek Empire, and they won. Not just that they had the koyach to start, but they won. And they drove the Greeks out, and they were able to be metaher, the tumah. They were able to do all these. Klal Yisrael was saved from an existential threat like you couldn't imagine. And they went to there, the nest, because of that, says the Gemara. So because of the Pach Shemen. So what is in this Pach Shemen ness that established the Yom Tov of Chanukah? So, let's go on a little journey together. This week's Parshas Vayeshev, speaks about Mechiras Yosef. Rashi tells us that when they were selling Yosef, Hinei Orchas, the Pasuk says, Hinei Orchas, Yishmaelim Boam Megilad, there was this caravan coming from Gilad, Ugmaleim Noisim, Noichos Vitzri, Uvloit, they carried all kinds of spices, beautiful spice smelling spices, balsam and lotus. It was like special. So Chazal tell us that normally the custom was for these Arabs never to carry these things. They always used to carry animal skins, which smelled very bad, tar. You know, these kinds of things is what the normal custom was. Baruch Hu went out of his way, made a nes. The dafka, this particular caravan, was carrying spices and balsam and lotus and all the sweet-smelling, delicious things. Special for Yosef. Why was this necessary? Why was it necessary? This is the worst time in Yosef HaTzadik's life. He's taken away from the Saviva, from the surroundings and environment of his father, who taught him all the Torah he learned in the Yeshiva and Shem Be'ed. He's leaving, and he's going to be sold into the degradation and to the obscenity of Mitzrayim, the immorality of Mitzrayim. He's totally moved out of his environment. You can imagine how he felt. He didn't feel so good. So you really think that this little bit of spice is going to make a difference to Yosef HaTzadik and his whole life? So it yes smelled good, it didn't smell good. I mean, what? It's not the only seemingly unnecessariness. Tanakh, it's brought about David and Goliath. We know that David killed Goliath, this enormous giant. It was a terrible threat to Klal Yisrael. Goliath, nobody was prepared to take him on. And David HaMelech takes him on, and he's prepared to fight him. And he takes his little slingshot, swings it around, hits him in the forehead, it embeds it in his head, and he falls forward. Wait a minute, something's wrong. Nafal al-Ponav. should have fallen backwards. You hit somebody in the head, he falls backwards. Doesn't fall forward. That's the law of gravity. It doesn't work that way. Why did he fall on his face? Say Chazal, to save David HaMelech the 18 feet that he had to walk to cut off his head. He had to cut off his head. Was he would have to walk if he fell backwards from where he stood? He'd have to walk the length of this giant 18 feet to save David HaMelech from having to walk 18 feet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a nes and defies the law of gravity and defies the whole system of the natural world. How? Why? Interesting. Avram Avinu, it's brought. Pasuk says, "Vashem Omer El Avram, Achagehi Poid Loit Miimai." And Hashem says to Avram, after Lot separated from him, "Somai Necha, lift up your eyes, Urei Min Hamokem Asher Atah Shom." And see from the place where you're standing, Tzafayna, Benegba, Bekeidma, Yama, look all around, you'll see all of Eretz Yisrael. Says the Orach Chaim, HaKadosh. Orach Chaim HaKadosh says an amazing thing. He says, Min HaMokim Asher Atah Shom. What's that? Min HaMokim? You see, you don't have to, from the place where you're standing. Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, that this too was a great ness. What was the ness? That Avram Avinu didn't have to turn his head. He didn't have to look north, he didn't have to look south, he didn't have to turn around to see Eretz Yisrael. From where he stood, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him the perspective of seeing all of Eretz Yisrael all at once. It would have been so difficult for Avinu to turn his head. The fact that he was showing him all of Eretz Yisrael at the same time was also a big mess. So what does it have to be to save Avram Avinu from having to turn his head a little bit? One other such instance we find, amazing. This was Yocheved. Yocheved just gives birth to Moshe Rabbeinu, puts him into the 3 months, puts him into the river. Basparah comes, she sees the child, she wants him, she takes him. Saving the Mashiach, Shal Yisrael, Mashiach, Moshe Rabbeinu was being saved. Miriam is standing there. Basparah says to her, "I can't nurse the child, I can't feed it. Please, get me someone, a Jewish woman, to feed this child." So she brings Yocheved. So the pasuk says like this, Vatoimerlo Basparo. And Basparo said to Yocheved, Halichi es hayeled, take this child, Vani keuli, and nurse him for me, Vani etein eschorech. I'll pay you for it. What she got? Yes. What's that business? I'll pay you for it. The Chayra, you would think she got her child back. She can now feed her own child. She has to be paid on top of it. What's the special sense here that there's an extra added pleasure? Oh, you know what? You're going to make a little bit of money. I mean, it doesn't. So we have to understand what this is all about. So I'll share with you a mashal I heard. Beautiful mashal. Mashal goes like this: a family had a very special and dear heirloom, something, a diamond, which was very special to them, and they would have it in a special place. They'd only take it out once in a while for special occasions to take a look at it and to reminisce the history of it and so on. One time they went to take out the diamond, and it's not there. It's not there. They can't find it. So what do? They go around and they're looking. Everybody, the whole family gets involved. They're looking. Finally, there's one little boy who goes, I don't know, in an air conditioning vent or something. He finds that it has fallen down there. He finds the diamond. So you can imagine the simcha in everybody's heart. Imagine that. The diamond was found, and everybody is so happy. And the father, of course, is super happy. And he goes over to his child, and he gives him a kiss. Now everybody's happy, but this boy is especially happy. Why is he especially happy? Because he got a kiss from his father. When he gets a kiss from his father, this shows how dear he is, and how much he was appreciated. This is what's called he'oras poni. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes out of his way to do what is seemingly unnecessary to be done, which shows a certain love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, of course, you have to provide the important necessities for Klal Yisrael. But that little bit of extra, that little bit more, that really was seemingly not necessary, that shows a special place that the child has in the father's heart. Let's go back to all of it. David HaMelech. The Kiddush Hashem that was now happening was an amazing thing. Chai Yisrael had to be saved. Golias had to be killed. While this little nest of his falling forwards instead of backwards really didn't play any role in the scheme of things in terms of Chai Yisrael. But for David HaMelech, that was Ha'aretz Panim. That was a kiss from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The same was true with Avraham Avinu. When Avraham Avinu didn't have to turn around, what did it show? It showed the Chavivus. It showed how much that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cared for Avraham Avinu. He was promised to be the Av HaMoen Goyim. He was going to... the whole world, with all its connection to Ruchnius, was going to stem from Avraham Avinu. And Eretz Yisrael would be his forever and his children. And yet, he is zoichet to something else. Ha'aras panim. A kiss from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the same with Yocheved. Chaved, she didn't need it, the money. The money wasn't the issue. And this was her child, and this was something that she... This was the Mashiach. This was Moshe Rabbeinu. So this was necessary for Klal Yisrael. But she got an extra Ha'aras panim. She even got paid on top of it. And with Yosef HaTzadik, oh, Yosef HaTzadik, it would have been very easy for him to fall into hopelessness, into yush. It would have been very easy for him to feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in him at all. Look at where he's going. He's going down to Mitzrayim. He could have thought that he was totally lost and Hashem had forgotten him and he wasn't concerned. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave like a hint to Yosef HaTzadik and said, listen, Yosef, this is special. Don't. Halt zachein. Halt strong. Don't give up. Don't feel despondent. Don't feel depressed. He was provided with these sweet-smelling spices in a miraculous way to show him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was holding his hand the whole way that he was going down to Mitzrayim. Now let's come back to Hanukkah. Enoch Hanami, without question. The miracle of saving Klal Yisrael from the threat of Greece, the war, oh, that was a great, great ness and necessary. But the special gilui, that special revelation of the Ha'aras Panim, that light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael, to show that the love that he had for Klal Yisrael, that was expressed in the Pach Shemen. And therefore, the whole Yom Tif, when the Gemara asks, My Chanukah is on that spot. They established the Yom Tif because HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed to Klal Yisrael that additional Ha'aras Panim. The miracle of the war was necessary. Kilosik shock up Torah mi Yisrael. Klal Yisrael should never forget Torah, and they had to continue. But the Ha'aras Panim came from the Pach Shemen. So the obvious question is, how do you merit Ha'aras Panim? What do you have to do for Ha'aras Panim? How do you get it? So I believe the answer is, and so it's brought in Svarim, was the Mesiras Nefesh of the Chashmonoim. We said earlier, 12 people took on. Now, look, they also knew that there was no chance, at least on their own. There was no chance. They weren't going to win. Can't take on militarily the greatest power in the world at the time. Alexander just finished conquering the entire world. And 12 people, 13 people are going to take on the entire Greek Empire. But they showed Avas Hashem. They showed how much they cared and how much they were prepared to do. That's beyond their koiches. That's Mesiras Nefesh. Talover amazing with the Blucher Rebbe in the camps. Yeah, you know, there's stories about the Blucher Rebbe, how he's Mechazik Yidden, they're abounded. And I read that they came Chanukah, so that, you know, they would steal a little bit of shoe polish, and they were forced to shine the boots of the Yimach Shemam, these Nazis. So they stole some shoe polish. They took some shoe polish. And the shoe polish had a little fuel in it, or alcohol, whatever it was that burned. And they burned Chanukah Licht with the shoe polish. And the Blush of Rebbe was making the brachas. And then he stopped for a minute, looked around, and he made a Shechi Yadu. Shechiyanu v'kihimanu v'yigiyanu l'asman hazeh. So they all turned to him and they said, How can you say Shechiyanu now? Because he says, I looked around and I saw these Yidden and I saw their Mesiras Nefesh. you make a Shechiyanu. The truth of the matter is, today, right now, we need Ha'aretz Poanim more than ever. We need that chizuk from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're in desperate need for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show us Ha'aretz Poanim, to give us a little kiss. Never before have we faced such an enemy, both physically and spiritually. And make no mistake, with all the abundance of Torah, there's a terrible enemy that wants to destroy the spirituality, the ruchnius of Klal Yisrael. And the only way we'll be able to vanquish them is with Mesiras Nefesh. And let me explain to you what I mean by Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh doesn't mean that I have to be prepared to give up my life. I mean that too. But that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is that we should do something which is a little bit difficult. But even more than that, probably one of the most difficult things for us to do is to really believe that we can do it. That we can go beyond our limitations. Everybody thinks, you know, we've accepted where we are, whatever it is, we're from, we're Shalom, Shabbos, we're learning, we're doing, we're being over the Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants a little bit more. He wants you to know that you can go beyond your koiches. And we're being shown that day in and day out. I have to just mention this. I mean, I'm sure you've all read and you all know and you all are aware. But I had the unique opportunity to grow up together with the Mir Rashid and Ben Tzadik Levracha Rav Nosson Tzvi. We played baseball together. Okay? That's the truth. Went to the same schools, davened in the same shul. My father's a friend of the Bracha, taught him his bar mitzvah. Well, families were very close. And if you read, and you read, and you read it again, what you're going to extract from that is how a person can go beyond what he thinks his limitations are. Don't be fooled by the Yetzer Hara that says, that's only for them, it's only for this one, it's only for this goblin. I can't do it. It's not true. Look around you, you'll see people making decisions every day of their lives that demonstrate that they can go beyond their limitations. And that's what we have to learn to do. When I say we, of course, I'm talking to myself, but I'm saying that's the key. The key is to expand the ani to such a degree that we recognize that the koiches that we have, we're utilizing a minuscule element of it. That's the mysterious nefesh that's required of us. This threat that I said that we have physically, that we're all familiar with. Never before were we faced with such enemies that are prepared. I've said this so many times. Israel faced many enemies, and they wanted to kill us, and they wanted to annihilate us. But they were always sitting on the horse, or holding the gun, and forcing us into the boxcars. Today, they're prepared to die just to kill a Yid. That never before happened. Since I'm Molek, that never happened. The day we're ready to be Meisr Nefesh themselves, for them to die just to kill a Yid? That never. Since I'm Molek, that didn't happen. That's the enemy we're facing. That's on the physical level. But let me share with you something on the spiritual level too. Today is the yard site of my Rebbe, Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, Zechene Tzadik Livracha. And I have to obviously share with you something that he said, the Ilui Nishmasi, his Torah. The Rav Shiva said like this, that there are two systems where HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed what his will is. He revealed his will in the system which we call creation, the world. In other words, Vayomer Elokim Yehior, Vayomer Elokim Tachei Ha'aretz Desha, Vayomer Elokim Na'aseh Adam. Every statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in the creation of the world, all 10 of them, are a revelation of what he wanted. Hence, the entire physical world that we see. But then, there was a second time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in detail, was Megaleh Ritzoinoi, he revealed his will, and that was at Maimed Har Sinai. when HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Aseres HaDibrais, he demonstrated what it is he wants of the world, what he wants of each of us. The Gilui Ratzon, this revelation of Hashem's will, in Maaseh Bereishis, he defines as Hechrech, as forced. In other words, he imposed his will into the world. That is, the Maimer, the statement of Yehi Or, the sun had no choice. It had to do what it was created to do. Everything in nature does as it's created and what it has to do. That is the Gilui Ratzon Hashem, the Hechrech. Forced. Whereas at Matan Torah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he gave Torah to the world, he gave Torah in a Matan Bechira. The Gilui was Bechira. The Gilui was my choice. It is I that has to make the choice. Rosi Shtachaveh is your choice. That's our Bechira. We have the ability to make an uncaused, free will choice between what's right and wrong and what's good and evil. So, if that's the case, the creation of the world, all of it, was for the purpose to contain a process by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be revealed Torah. The Bechira, the Matan Bechira, was only possible if there was a world. No world, there's no Matan Bechira. So the creation of the world, the whole Asara Maimorais, that whole creation was the kli, the utensil in which to contain the Torah. That is, for us to make these choices. So when we study the natural world, the Chochmah Chitzonis, when we study the wisdom, the nature, the science of the world, we're just looking at the utensil. But we're not looking at the inner wisdom. We're not looking at the Pnim, the Torah. And that's what the Yevanim wanted. That's what the Greeks have given us, and from that we suffer to this very day. The idol of science. Turning it into an end in itself rather than a mechanism by which we can understand what it contains. They embodied, the Greeks, the external wisdom of science and anything that was based on human logic, that was reality. But they completely rejected the divine revelation of Chochmas HaPnim, of Matan Torah. They, as I said, they concentrated on the vessel, but not on what it contained. They extolled the supremacy of physical beauty. And that is what became the essence of Greek culture, and that's the essence of the culture we are in today that threatens our very soul. The name Yavon. Yavon is Greece. So very interesting. Wisdom of Chazal and the wisdom of Torah and the emes of Torah. Yavon is spelled Yud, Vav, Nun. These are three lines. A dot and two lines. A Vav and a Nun. Final Nun. There's no Pnim. All the other Oisiyos have an internal part that contains. You can put something in it. It's a recognition, but Yavon was kula, completely chitzayim. In fact, Yavon, spelled backwards, is noi. And noi is beauty. And what they did is distorted the true beauty. That's what they did, it backwards. They became Yavon. Of course there's beauty in the world, but where is that beauty to be found? Yaftalokin liyefes v'yishkan ba'al leshem. When is the external beauty relevant and important and necessary? When it enhances and goes hand in hand and it recognizes that it has to dwell be'ohal Hashem within Shem. Without Shem it doesn't work. And that's why they didn't want to kill us. They didn't want to annihilate us. All they wanted to be metameh. All they wanted was to defile, to be mechalel. It's so beautiful. The word chilul. The word chilul means an empty space. A chas v'shalom, a dead body, is called a cholol basoda. Why? Because it's been emptied of the neshama, the halal, the space, yes, is empty. That's why it's called halal. The empty space above. It's empty. That space. There's no atmosphere. That's halal. Bon pritzim v'chileluha. They wanted to be mechalel, to take out the pnim, to empty that which was on the inside and destroy our neshamas. It's keguf b'li neshama. When you're studying science without the direction of Torah, when you allow technology to define the way people behave, it's a chilul. That doesn't mean desecration. It's a chilul means you've been emptied of your ruchnius. And that's why it's interesting. This too, the Rosh Yeshiva used to say. We say in Al Anisim, "Lahashkicham teirosecha ulahavira mechukei ritzaynecha." Lahavira mechukei ritzaynecha means that to stop us from doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, right? No, does he want us to learn Torah? Yes. Does he want us to remember Torah? Yes. So what do you need a special Hashkicham Tegosecha for? La'avira mechukei ritzaynecha would have included Hashkicham Tegosecha. But the pshat is like this. La'ashkicham, not just not to forget Torah. They didn't care if we remembered Torah. You can have a lot of information. So does a computer. It carries a lot of information. But it was l'hashkicham Torah secha, that the Torah is your Torah, Rabbi Yisholachim. That the Torah comes from you. The pnim, the neshama of Torah, l'hashkicham Torah secha, they wanted to separate you away from the Torah. Your Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they wanted us to forget. So as I said, they weren't interested in destroying Klal Yisrael. They just wanted to empty us. And that's what we're facing today. So how are we able to attain victory against the threats that we have to face? Is again, follow the lead of the Hashmonoim, the Mesiras Nefesh, all of our kochos, everything that we have in our day-to-day life, if we only focus, that don't think that's where it ends. You can go a little bit further. One step beyond. In your avodas Hashem, in your kavana and davening, in your learning Torah, in everything that we do, don't think you've reached your limit. Because it's limitless. And the goal of the neshama, our neshama, is limitless. I'm not saying it's easy. It's far from easy. But if we remember it as we go through our day and we put forth that effort, we too will be zoche to ha'oras panim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will enlighten us and He'll take over. And how wonderful it will be that we should all be zoche to this rachmei shamayim and a little kiss from Avinu Shebashamayim.